This is the first edition, by the way, real first edition. This is the real inscription on the tombstone of Westminster Cathedral, where Bill Wilson had an initial early spiritual experience and then continued to drink. The actual inscription, misquoted slightly in the book. Let's see what the book says. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier who's never forgotten whether he passed by musket or by pot. The real inscription, and you can get these as souvenirs if you go visit England, Westminster Cathedral, is: here sleeps in peace a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death by drinking cold small beer. Soldiers, be wise from his untimely fall. And when you're hot, drink strong or none at all. In memorial to Thomas Fetcher. An honest soldier is never forgotten whether he died by musket or by pot. And this was by the North Hants Militia, 1802, and then it was restored by the Royal Hampshire Regiment in 1966. A piece of AHRD and esoterica. People have been asking about the sources. Remember, the big book was originally, they thought, could be read on your own. And they tell you how to go about. In the forward to the first edition, they say, we shall be interested to hear from those who are getting results from this book, particularly from those who have commenced work with other alcoholics. We should like to be helpful in such cases. In other words, they're assuming you could get this book, and they printed about 4,630 of the first edition, I believe, almost 5,000. And they start sending them out to doctors, and they expect to be inundated with orders. There was absolutely no interest, you know. They got a couple postcards back from drunken doctors who say, how dare you apply, we have a problem. They were amazed at how little interest there was in the big book. They got a lukewarm review from the AMA Journal. They got a better review from a religious magazine called Liberty. Fulton Orsler gave them the first good review. But basically, at $3.50, which is equivalent to about 50 bucks in today's money during the height of the Depression, the big book wasn't a bestseller. It really wasn't. But they thought immediately that you could get this book and read it and learn the program, and it'd help another alcoholic. That's why they put it in the forward to the first edition. This is a description. Now, the word sponsor never appears in the first 164 pages. The word spiritual advisor, the word protege, the opposite of a protege is a mentor or patron. That's the opposite of a protege, right? Patrons have proteges, proteges have patrons. Call it whatever you want. It boils down to what we call sponsorship. Sponsorship existed in the Oxford group. It was a term they were using. Frank Snyder, 1938 alcoholic, that's before this book, referred to Dr. Bob as his sponsor. Here's a description of what you're supposed to do with this book. Remember in the forward, they said, we'd like to hear from you. How are you doing? Page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal. This is a summation of the step process. How you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him, your prospect, your protege. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. And I always tell my sponsees, you're helping me. They say, thank you, Roy. I say, thank you. Thank you. You know, you're keeping me absent. Actually, and it says in the book, actually, he may be helping you more than you're helping him. That has been my personal experience. Then it tells you more on page 96, working with others. Suppose you're now making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he's prepared to go through the 12 steps of the program of recovery. The book actually says, and I didn't give you a copy of this book, which I said, things are different between 1939 and 2011. I ain't lending anybody. I don't buy one for $8. But you do tell the sponsee, read the book, see what, if you're ready for this thing. I tell them ahead of time what we're going to do here, buddy. You're going to sit down with me and tell me who you hate. You're going to tell me what you hate about yourself. You're going to tell me what you're afraid of. You're going to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets that you wouldn't tell your psychiatrist if you're paying $100 an hour to, or your priest who's sworn to burn in hell if he betrays your confidence. And you're going to go out to people and make amends. Okay? And then a trick I picked up from Dan S. is when he's read the book in the ABCs, you know, A, we're compulsive overeater. We could not manage our own life. B, no human power could restore me to sanity. C, God couldn't, what if you even thought? I say initial that. Okay? It's a contract. Because when you balk on step 9, I'm going to show you your initials. You signed on for the duration. And I always read page 18. I mentioned this to the previous session. I'm going to continue where we left off, but I'm going to mention in page 18 some of the two greatest lines of the book. First of all, it says, we hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. So the purpose of this book is to inform and comfort you. Every OA conversation should inform and comfort you. Every OA meeting should inform and comfort you. Every OA workshop should inform and comfort you. Okay? Because that's the spirit of the big book. If you're dealing with an abusive person, a sponsor, a meeting that's whatever, for whatever reason is not for you, if you're not comfortable there, if you're not getting the information in this book, I definitely suggest you bail out of it and find a better one. And then I read on this following passage, and I say, if I'm not doing this, you let me know. That the man who's making the approach has had the same difficulty. That he obviously knows what he is talking about. That his whole department shouts at the new prospect, the person he worked with, that he is a man with a real answer, the sponsor is, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except a sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no access to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. And if I don't live up to that, he's got the right to fire me. I don't usually even let a sponsor pick up the lunch tab. If we're working through the book, and he says, let's go have lunch now, I won't let him pick up the tab. He's got to know I'm doing this for fun and for free. He may be helping me more than I'm helping him. Now, Brian, who happens to be here, gave me this as a present. So I don't turn down presents, bribes, and whatever. But it's not going to let him out of any of the shit I'm going to ask him to do in the book. But I'm going to accept it, and let him do that because it's about the book that I love. So, let's talk about some sources. Somebody asked about Herb Tay's stuff. I brought a couple of books here. He's doing a workshop in Santa Monica every Tuesday, 7 o'clock at St. Monica's Catholic Church. He goes through the book from the Circle and Triangle, page 1, and weekly he goes through the book. It takes him about a year. He's written a couple books. They're from Capizon Publishing, K-A-P-I-Z-O-N Publishing, and I'll leave them here, and they're available. The famous Joe and Charlie, A Program for You, excellent. These guys, you know what these guys did? These guys basically went around in the 70s reteaching AA their own program. That's how far the program had gotten from the original message of the book. That's what they were doing. I wish I had these guys in Miami when I was getting on the program. It could have saved me a lot of heartache. Instead, I had this clown for 17 years who would give me his opinions. Anything I say that ain't the big book, you definitely take what you want and read the rest, but trust me, nothing I say is not based in that book. What else is there to say? I'm just recapping some of the things I brought out. 1934 dictionary, don't leave home without it. First edition, they're for sale on the internet, about $360. Okay, I want to mention Program for You, that's Joe McQueenie. He's dead now, he died with over 40 years. Joe and Charlie's Big Book Study, Joe and Charlie, the Big Book Comes Alive, they're available for fun and free. Beyond Their Wildest Dreams, that's Roseanne's history. AA Comes of Age, it's the official history of AA. There's good unofficial histories. Pass It On, I have one here, it's Bill Wilson's biography, Dr. Bonnie Goodall's time is his boss. There's our website where you can get Harlan's workshop from last year, which is excellent. He's visiting here, we're graced by his presence. Now this guy, Laurie Cease, from the Midwest, he's from Canada, actually. Do you know him at all?
Yeah.
Somebody knows him. Huh?
Right on, I'm from Canada.
You know him? Yeah, he's good. He's got one up on, let me see, I think I put the website.
You can get his writing.
Yeah, he worked the steps with some guy at AA named Blair, who was a Joe and Charlie guy. So, these are some websites. These first two are from Dan S. of Santa Monica. And he's the one that writes the Big Book Awakening Guide. And this is the method that I've been using for the past, say, 7 years, which is basically, and it's a simple method. Don't let all this follow all fully all these books and websites. This method is so simple. Remember what the book says. At its core, this program is simple and personal. This method is very simple. You sit down with your sponsee in front of you, and you read the book together from the title page, the circle and triangle. You turn the statements into questions. And I use Dan's book as kind of a checklist, the way a pilot would use a checklist, to make sure he hasn't forgotten anything before he takes off. So when I take a guy through chapter the agnostic, I'll turn to Dan's second step, chapter agnostic in here, and make sure I didn't leave out any key questions. Okay, I'm going to show you. So that's the essence of it. I'm sitting with a guy in front of me, taking him through the book, turning the statements into questions. And I meet with him. As you know, when I went through about 7 years ago with a guy, much less time in the program than me, that time means nothing to me. I was almost killed by a guy with 17 years when I was a newcomer, because he's feeding me the RTG program instead of the Bill W program. Time doesn't mean shit to me. If you haven't been through that book and had a spiritual awakening, I don't know what program you work in. And I'm not speaking about from something I've learned in books. I'm talking about bitter, dangerous survival experience. Okay? I learned the hard way. I work Frank the Atheist program. I get Frank the Atheist promises. So I better know what they are. For me to go read is to die, it says in the book. I'm betting my life on my sponsor's program. I work Cal the Dry Drunks program. I get Cal the Dry Drunks promises. So I better know what they are. You do what you want. I don't tell anybody else how to work their program. I'm telling you, for me to eat is to die. For me to drink is to die. I'm not going to bet my life on anybody's opinion. I did once and it almost killed me. 7 years in, you guys who missed the first session, I'm working on, I don't know, whatever his program he thought it was, kind of like going to meetings and doing what he thought, not working out of the book. He just put the book down. He had 70 years. I'm a terrified newcomer. 7 years into this thing, I was dying of untreated addiction, untreated alcoholism, untreated compulsive overeating, untreated addiction. And that's what I learned the hard way, you know. So when a sponsee's working with me, one thing you can be sure, he ain't working the Royal program. Because I'll tell you right now, Royal has no program. I have no promises. I have not come up with any steps. I have not been able to improve on that book one iota except this add one word, which is cunning, baffling, powerful, patient. And I think Don mentioned in this talk, the disease is out there. All I get is a daily reprieve. I could walk out of here and binge and never make it back into this room. Okay? So I have to maintain my spiritual condition on a daily basis. So these are some websites where these two here, I'm going to put a thing. How do I do this? These are Dan S.'s websites. He's a good guy. He's got about 20-something years. And he works the steps outline of the book. He's got some Joe H. CDs available. This is a great couple of websites. I gotta put one in here. I don't know what's going on with this computer. www.xarecovery.org. This is run by a couple of AA members out of Iceland. This Lori's, he's an OA guy, Lori C. He's from Winnipeg, Canada. One of our guests knows him. He's very good. Harlan's workshop's excellent. You can get it from our guy who's here, this guy David Lee Joy from All Star Media. Harlan's stuff is good. This guy Lori C is available on the internet for free. I don't pay anything for speakers anymore. I just download
it. Joe and Charlie's free too.
Joe and Charlie's free. Those two are free. A lot of Joe H tapes. If you email me, I'll send you a list of the best speakers, the best workshop leaders. Believe me, I've been doing this 32 years, and I was almost killed by people who weren't doing it. So I know what the hell I'm talking about. And I say that with love. All right, that's references. Let's go back to where we left off. You guys who missed the first session. We're just starting step three, and they told me it was over 145, and according to that thing outside, it was over 2. I could have maybe gotten into step 3. I told about the formula for recovery. The C is the constant, which is the big book. The A is the sponsee's attitude, willingness, honesty, and openness. That can change, but it's indispensable, says the spiritual appendix. HP, that can change. Your concept of God can change over time. That's a variable. And the least important of all the variables variables is the S, the sponsor. I can be replaced. Okay, if you sense that I'm not doing what the book says to do on page 18, get another sponsor. There's 100 guys who can take you through the big book, and ladies too. We couldn't play the video because we couldn't have speakers. I have a couple funny videos, and I have Bill Wilson's 1951 CD. We went through the difference between the slogans and what's in the book. There are no musts. If we don't get rid of self-centeredness, we must get rid of it or it kills us. Try that one for a must. It's a spiritual program. You need all three sides of the triangle. Unity is fellowship. Service is your service commitments, like what the guy's doing here, or putting on this thing. You can call this service in a way, because I'm not personally spiritually infusing anybody. I'm just giving you information and material. And the base of the triangle here, let me just shut this rascal down. I'll put the triangle up again. Which the Miracles of Mental Health to Run World Service took out of the big book, those morons. I say that with love. Unity, service, and recovery. Unity represents the fellowship. Service represents what we do here. And recovery, without that, I can be going to 2-3 meetings a day. I can have commitments at every meeting. I can be going to every conference and doing all this for OA. I'll be dying. And maybe obsessed with the food or the weight or the scale, too. The recovery is at the base of the whole program. And without all, and they're equilateral. Meetings are important. Taking your service commitment is important. I'm not negligizing them. Is that a word? Negating them? There you go. But without recovery, see, meetings are fun. You can see your friends, you chat up the ladies, make some shitty coffee, you go out to college after service, okay, they know who your name is, you get to run around collect the treasury, go to the conferences, you know, help set up, isn't that fun? What ain't fun is going to somebody I hate, totally ignoring what they did to me and making amends for what I did to them. That is not fun. So the reason I stress recovery is not that it's any more important than any other side of the triangle. That's the work of the program, or what the book calls the process. Contrary action, as they say in the Pacific Group. You guys all know about him, don't you? Clancy Eye from Up in the Sky. There's some packets here for some of you. There's some early Oxford Group history. Frank Bookman and the Amend, which started over a food fight. The whole damn 12-step process started over food, believe it or not. I swear to God, it's true. It's in there. And he realized he could not convert people unless he made amends and got some serenity back in his life. And the minute he made that amend, he had his first convert the next day. He was a Lutheran minister, so guys like that want converts. I don't. I got enough problems with the sponsees I got. But that's how the whole damn thing started. He started the Oxford Group out of that. So it started with an amend over the resentment. That's how the whole program, and it started over food issues. So we kind of jumped AA on that one. Okay, guys. We went through the second step. We said you got to understand something. In your first step, your own resources marshaled by the will proven sufficient. This is not self-help, group help, affirmations, diet and calories club. This is a spiritual program. Without a higher power, and I use God as I don't understand him, but without a higher power, I am effed. Okay, I'm not going to say the full word because I'm being taped. Let's see here. The answer is spiritual. What else do I want to see here? This is some of the early... This was the original Oxford Group program, sharing of a sin and temptation with another Christian life. Friend of our life, past, present, future. Kind of the third step. Restitution, they jump immediately to the eighth and ninth step. Listening, accepting, relying, that's a 10 and 11 step, you know. So that we had to change the program, because we needed people that understand us. I need to be in OA, I can't stay absent in AA. I need to be with people who understand me. Frank Snyder used to say, the steps, he was the guy that started AA in Cleveland. He used to say, steps one is admission, which the book says we can fully concede to our innermost self, that we were compulsive overeaters, the delusion that we're like normal people has to be snagged. Steps two and three is submission. Okay, I had to come to believe in a higher power. I need a higher power to restore me to sanity. Four and five is confession. That's pretty obvious, right? That's an old spiritual principle, old as the hills. Six, seven, eight, nine are restitution. I realized that a character defect put a name on a list for me, and if I want to let go of that character defect, I got to make that amend. And 10, 11, and 12 are construction. This is what we're building here. All right, this is all AA history. Oh, I did say this, though, that it's funny, like, before 1935, if you had alcoholism, you died, basically. No cure. It's like AIDS back in 1980. Okay, you're diagnosed with AIDS, dead man walking. Go home, make out your will. No hope. Same with alcoholism since time immemorial. First, funny, it's diachronically parallel to penicillin. You had blood poisoning, lobar pneumonia before penicillin, you die. All of a sudden, after penicillin, you can live. It's a miracle. That's, you know, it's just a curious parallel. And the program was a miracle. It was a miraculous program. Okay, I went through all this stuff. I'm going to go right down to step three, because we left off at the end of step one. And this is the requirement of step three, that you be convinced that any life run on self-will can be a success. Without this, you're going nowhere. Okay? Let's get down to it. Where are we? Step one. Oh, yeah. Go down fast. We explain the spiritual malady, page 52. Memorize page 52. Don't leave home without it. Okay. We finish all steps two and one. I explain where the program is laid out in the book. For those of you who missed it, that's why I use Dan S.'s thing. It's helpful. It's visual aid, I'm going to call it. You have this circle triangle going back in. Steps one goes through the doctor's opinion all the way up to page 52, which is getting into chapter the agnostic. Then chapter the agnostic is really step two. We agnostics, page 44, it starts. Steps three and four and how it works. Interaction 5 and 11 and working with others, step 12, and then the advanced chapters. So it's a little bit more complicated than the 12 and 12, which is organized. Yeah, step 1 is in chapter 1, step 2 is in chapter 2. So it helps that somebody knows what's going on. We went through a definition of what compulsive overeater insanity is. Oh, the step 2 promises are my favorite promises. Something in the handout is the promises all through the book. As you know, people always talk about the promises of the book. And we all, who've been around, I think Harlan mentioned it in his workshop. The step two promises are my favorite promises in the big book. I'm going to read them to you, and then we'll go to step three.
Or is there a handout?
There is a couple handouts. We didn't get as much as we want. Okay. Here's some of my favorite promises. Starting on page... Thank you. Starting on page 46.
You raise your hand, I'll hand you one
up. It says here that God will not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. Remember the ABCs. God could and would if He was sought. If you're willing to seek a higher power, even if you doubt Him or don't believe in Him now, your higher power will not make hard terms for you. Okay? His spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. Lowry C. claims to still be an agnostic, but he somehow got recovery and abstinence. He's got an interesting set of tapes. Let's see what else. If you can say, I now believe, or even willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself, as soon as a man can say that, he does believe his willing to be, we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. You're on your way. If you say, okay, I'm open, there could be a higher power, I'm willing to look for. You're on your way. I'm finding a simple cornerstone and wonderfully effective spiritual structure. Okay? It's comforting to learn that you can commence at a simpler level, bottom of page 47. You can start with a group. Bill says it's all right in the 12 and 12. He says, quit the debating system. The important thing is stop trying to figure out with the head. You can't figure out God better than us have tried. It's not, you don't get it through the head. It's not an intellectual program. It didn't come to Bill through the head. Came to Bill through like this. Okay, God, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. If there is a God, let Him reveal itself. Poof. I mean, all this stuff about showing you reason why you should believe in God is utter nonsense. He never came to God that way. He came to God through complete deflation and desperation and total abandonment. Okay, if there is a God, let Him reveal Himself. I'll do anything. That's why I wanted to play that 1951 recording. It goes into that. Um,
Oh, this is a great promise on page 55, okay? If you can open your mind, lay aside prejudice, and seek a higher power, okay, and do what the spiritual appendix says, willingness, honesty, openness. That's all you got to have. Not sure faith in I know who God is. Page 55, with this attitude, you cannot fail. So you got a newcomer sitting in front of you, and I say to him, are you willing to stay open that there could be a higher power? A non-human spiritual power you can tap into that will relieve this disease. I don't believe it, but are you open to it? Yeah. You cannot fail. That's a nice promise to be able to tell a newcomer. You see? I'm my favorite. Even so, God, this is on 57, the close of, even so, God restored us all to our right minds. This, to this man, he's talking about the previous story where the guy gets on his knees and says, who am I to say there is no God? And he has a white light experience. The man's name was John Henry Mayhew, also known as Fitz Mayhew, early New York member. He says, even so, God restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. Okay? When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. If you're willing to draw near to your higher power, it, he, she, it will disclose itself to you. I won't even put a gender on it. Your higher power will disclose itself. So the question is, how do I draw near to God? That's the next question, which leads us to how it works. So we're now at this point in the book, and I'm going to use the this is a tombstone in the Winchester Cathedral with the actual inscription. It's a little different from the book. We're now drawing close to step three. Okay? Let me go down here. I told you about my first sponsor almost killed me with his opinions. Producer driver, I said, not now, you fool. Fred's story. I use Fred's story a lot. It's in, actually, it's at the end of More About Alcoholism, right before chapter agnostic. If I got an agnostic sitting in front of me saying, I got real doubts about whether this, you know, I'm not sure about this God thing. It just goes against that. It's usually somebody who's very, unfortunately, intelligent. And he's having problems with it. So I use Fred's story. On page 42, this guy's actual name is Harry Brick. He was an accountant on the early AA board of the Alcoholic Foundation when they brought, they still thought we needed money to do this thing. Rockefeller straightened him out. He was right, we were wrong. But on the bottom it says, page 42, then he outlined the spiritual answer and program of action which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. Yeah, you gotta get honest with yourself, you gotta make a confession, write it down, read it to somebody else. You're going to look at the character defects that cause it to be in conflict with these people, then you're going to go make amends to these people. And then you're going to help people with no thought of reward. And, but you're going to pray to whatever God you think is out there. So he says, the program of action, though entirely sensible, is pretty drastic. Yeah, I think going to somebody I hate and ignoring what they did to me and only apologizing for what I did to them, I think that's pretty drastic. I would rather, you know, put pins in the root of God. But the monk, now here's the line, and then I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. Yeah, like, I'm the center of the universe. That's a, I have to throw that out. That's not, this was not easy, he said. And here comes the line I use with my agnostics. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my compulsive overeating condition or my obsession with food was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. Are you willing to go through with this process? Remember, I've already gotten them reading the book. I've already gotten them knowing that we're going to make confession, restitution, you know, helping others. He knows what I'm going to ask of him. Are you willing to go through with the process? Yes. Well, then you can make the program with doubts. You don't have to worry about doubts. You can do this thing with doubts. There's a story called Flooded with Feelings in the back of the fourth edition where the guy was able to make the program totally doubting the existence of God. It's an excellent story to read. It's in the back of the fourth edition. Okay, so I use that as the guy's got up 2 minutes. All right. It's called Flooded with Feelings. It's a fourth edition story. It's not in the third edition. These are the step two promises. Yeah, here I have him there all the time. As soon as a man could say he does believe when he believes, we emphatically assure he's on his way. He will come to you too. He's come to all those who sought him. God, we couldn't live if you were sought. All right, so step three, the first requirement. We've already talked about that. Are you convinced that any life run on self-will is destined for failure? In the 12 and 12, he talks about our collision with the juggernaut of self-will. You know what the Oxford groupers used to say? This goes back before AA, and people don't realize this. They're the ones who came up with this God as you understand and stuff. That was Oxford group stuff. They used to say, how's it working for you? How's your life going? You know, they're running around saying, we've been reborn, you know, we've had spiritual awakening. Well, I don't know about all this religion. How's it working for you? How are you doing? You know? So these are some considerations. Oh, thank you. Thank you. These are some considerations. Now, those of you who weren't here the first sessions, the considerations, realizations, are simply turning the statements in the book into questions when you've got a sponsee in front of you. Okay? So here I'm going to take the book, I'm sitting with a sponsee in front of me, and I'm going to ask him questions. Are you convinced that any life around self-will can hardly be a success? Are you always in collision with somebody, even though your motives may be good? Are you really a self-seeker when trying to be kind? Have you been trying to run the whole show? Do you believe your troubles are basically of your own making? Do they arise out of yourself? Are you an extreme example of self-will run riot? Well, the book says, though he usually doesn't think so, so you might not get a positive response to that. The OA version, do you want God to remove your weight without your giving up your binge foods or eating anything you want, any portions you want? That's what I call self-will run riot. Okay? I want to be thin without giving up binge foods. Do you realize above everything that you must get rid of the selfishness or it will kill you, or at least the food will kill you? Okay? Do you realize there's no way of entirely getting rid of self without the aid of a higher power? It says your dilemma is lack of power. Your problem is you're running on self-will, and your solution is you got to get out of yourself, and there's no way to do it without help from a higher power. That's it. Okay? And the guy says, do you realize that? And if he's hopeless, he realizes that. If he's not, he may have some more eating left to do. Or he might try and do it his way, or whoever's way, you know. How's it been working for you? Did playing God work for you? Is it working for you emotionally, spiritually? Do you identify with the bedevilments on page 52? We went over to page 52, which is the spiritual malady. I'm having problems with personal relationships. I can't control my emotional nature. I'm a prey to misery and depression. I can't make a living. I feel useless. I'm full of fear. I can't seem to be a real help to other people. I'm unhappy. Do you identify with that? Yes. Well, you're effed. You're doomed. And you'll eat again if you don't have a God in your life. So these are considerations for step three. And I mentioned some quotes from the 12 and 12, etc., etc. The bone-crushing juggernaut. I love Bill's prose. I like Bill's prose. I know it's 1930s cornball prose, but I like it. I don't care. We're denizens of King Alcohol in a shivering rain. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, bewildered in terror, fear, whatever the hell they were. He's got it in there. I get a kick out of it. All right. Here's a great question on page 43. Are you 100% hopeless apart from divine help? You know? These guys who wrote the book were. These are 19, you know, first edition of Alcohol. Even if you're not sure about the divine help business, are you ready to look for something better? Are you desperate enough to look for something better? If yes, you're ready for step three. All right. Do you ever hear anyone in the program or the meeting say, this program is wonderful, it's so wonderful, it's magical, I don't know how it works, but it does? I've heard that many times over the years. Well, they haven't been reading the big book, obviously, because on page 62, this is the how and the why of it. It tells you. It's all in here. It's really all about, are you willing to stop playing God and look for a higher power? That's the how and the why. Stop playing God. Are you ready to stop playing God? And that's it. The final third step of consideration, are you ready to quit playing God? So these considerations, if you realize that, A, you're a hopeless case with food, you will eat again, you're not going to fix this on your own power, you're dying of the spiritual malady on page 52, you need a higher power, which is basically what step two is saying, you believe that there's something in this program, in some of these people, because you've listened to their stories, so you decide you want a piece of it, Then you're ready for the decision. And here's the decision on page 62. We had to decide here after this drama of life, God was going to be our director. And then once again, Bill gives you the old architectural metaphor. He calls it the new and triumphant arch. I say this every morning. My morning ritual, and this of course is 11th step, but I use the third step prayer. I said, I wake up and I do what the book said. God, direct my thinking, divorce it from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motive. Then I say, God, you're my director, I'm your actor. You're my principal, I'm your agent. You're my employer, I'm your worker. You're my father, I'm your son. If I'm horny, you're my matchmaker, I'm your lonely heart. Fix me up, God. You're in charge, you're the boss. Clarence Snyder used to call God his manager. And are you in charge of your own life now? Okay, I'll have my sponsee, if I'm taken through the whole book, turning the statements into questions. Are you convinced that running your life on self-will is destined for failure? Yeah. Are you hopeless? Are you beyond human aid with this compulsive overeating? Yeah. Do you need a higher power? Yeah. Are you willing to search for them? Yeah. You willing to go through the process? Yeah. I tell them, reread it, go home, and think it over carefully. Because the book tells me on page 63, did you think well before taking this step, making sure you were ready? Okay, that's the way they operated in the old days. You just didn't waltz into a meeting. As the doctor, Bob, saying to Clarence Snyder, young fellow, we're not sure about you. Clarence Snyder saying, he's not sure about me. I'm down to 135 pounds. I haven't been able to eat for 3 days. I've been homeless for 5 years, unemployable for 7 years, living in abandoned houses for 3 years. I'm drinking 8 cents a pint denatured alcohol, living in these hobo jungles. And he's not sure about me. What do you have to do to get ready for this outfit, you know? And they didn't mess around, but they were desperate, so they would do something like get out of bed, get on their knees, and turn their will and their life over to God. And if they liked the way they did it, they get to go to their first meeting. We don't have to do that anymore. So the prayer itself is a ritual. It's the considerations that count. Is the guy really committed? Is he really convinced? The first requirement, that life run on self-will, is destined for failure. Is he really convinced that he cannot solve this overeating problem or any other problem without his own power? The considerations, then, if he says yes, I'll let him write his own third step prayer. The book says the wording can be optional as long as expressed sincerely. I wrote, you want to hear my first third step prayer? My father just died, about a year sober, less time than an accident, still under a lot of psychological financial insecurity. I didn't have a great program. I had this half-assed first sponsor almost killed me, but I was doing the best I could. I love the book. The book saved my life. My first third step prayer. On my knees, alone, without a witness, wording optionally, God, I don't know if you exist or not. I don't know if there's anyone else on the other end of this call, but I think this program is my best chance for happiness. The wording can be optional as long as expressed sincerely. Now, I meant business. I had a sponsor used to tell me there's a difference between prayer and recitation and reciting something. I have my little morning ritual, I'll call it that. You know, I recite my third step prayer. But that prayer was from the heart, you know, language of the heart. It was sincere. The wording was obviously not what we had in the big book. The big book, if he's willing to do it, though, just like those first edition guys, you know, get out of bed, get down on your knees, we're going to turn your will and your life over to the caring God. You ever hear people tell you, don't make any major decisions in your first year? So you used to tell them in AA. You're about to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. I mean, that's a rather major decision. So, you have some effects. Did I have much of a spiritual effect from that first third step? I don't know. I don't know. I just know it was my only chance. I mentioned embarking on the process. What I read Fred's story. So, what I'm getting at is the prayer is merely a ritual. It's really in the sponsee. His attitude is what's crucial. Does he really mean business? And I have him initial those ABCs. You know what this means, you know. How do I turn my life over to God? Well, I'll tell you how. You're going to show up here 2 weeks from now with an inventory. Because if you don't show up here, you haven't done your third step. Every step confirms the previous step. And I mentioned in the previous session, I've kneeled with a guy, held the hands, recited the third step prayer, gave him the inventory format, and that's the last I saw of him. Now, this guy obviously has not done a third step. When he shows up with his fourth step, I begin to think he's done his third step. When I listen to his fifth step and see that he really hasn't held anything back, that he's told me everything, the stuff he swore he would go to the grave with, and he hasn't told his priest or shrink, and I got a feeling he really means business, the fifth step confirms his fourth step. Then I'm picking out his character defects from his inventory, the resentment list. We looked at this list carefully because it held the key to the future, one of the greatest little throwaway lines in the big book. I'm going to get into this. I'm just going through the general process. I say, this name is on your list because of this. You're angry, so you're colliding with the other angry Looney Tunes around here. Anger begets anger. With what judgment you meet, you shall be met. People who live by the sword die by the sword. You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. The psychologists call it the law of attraction. It's not any state secret. You know, guys in the mafia always hate other guys in the mafia because that's who they are. I will manifest around me spiritually people based on my spiritual condition. When I was a compulsive overeater and a drunk, my friends were all my binge buddies and barfly buddies. I'm in recovery now. Most of my friends are on the 12-step path. It's not rocket science. I had a sponsor tell me once, positive attracts positive, negative attracts negative, passive attracts aggressive. The law of attraction in psychology. I'm going to manifest things on that list based on my spiritual condition. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But the point is, I listen to the fourth and fifth step, and I say, well, this is your defect. Are you willing to give it up? This bully is on this resentment list because you're a bully. Yeah? He threatened to knock my block off. You started it. And now you know, well, he threatened to knock. You started it. You know, have you ever bullied somebody else? Well, yeah. He's going to go out and make amends to those people. Or else he's not really willing to give up those defects. You know how long it took me to stop stealing? 13 years in the program. You know how I was able to stop stealing? Paying back the money. Got me to stop stealing. You see, the eighth and ninth step confirmed that I'm really ready to give up the defects of the sixth and seventh step. Every step confirms the previous step. Okay? So now we're going to go, we've done a step three decision. We really mean business. We say we want this thing, we make a decision, go ahead. We launch into some vigorous house cleaning. How soon does that mean we should start our inventory?
Immediately.
Ask a carrier pilot what launch means. He's on a steam catapult, he goes from 0 to 300 miles an hour in about 4 seconds or whatever. That's what launch means. You know, I'm setting this guy up, I'm having him think it over carefully. He comes back to me a week later, says, okay, I'm going to do this. We say whatever third step prayer, he can use his own words, the wording's optional as long as it's expressed sincerely, quote from the book. Or we can say the prayer in the book. And then I give him the inventory format. Immediately, we're going to start four step. We launch. This is one of my favorite parts. I got something on it in the handout. What are we after in chapters 5 and 6, which is where the fourth and fifth steps are? Okay? What are we looking to root out? 1923, 16 years before the publication of the book, Sam Shoemaker published something called Twice Born Ministers by Rebel Publishing. It's an old spiritual publication. You guys took away all my hand up. But I think it's in here. Yeah, I'll get back to you. Oh, this is just, yeah. And here it is written up here, but you can see it on the screen. And what he said in that book was, and this, what this book's about is ministers, men of the cloth, whose lives have been changed by Frank Bookman, head of the Oxford Group. Now these guys were guys who wanted to be on the spiritual path. And they were doing nothing until Bookman got a hold of them. Sam Shoemaker was one of them. He was a missionary in China who hated the Chinese. He was having a world problem with resentment. And he met Bookman, and Bookman said, you're the problem. You got to go make amends to your students. You know, you've been treating them wrong, whatever. He did. He changed. He had a successful mission. He came back to Calvary Church, Episcopal Church in Lower Manhattan, which happens to be the family church of the Hazard family. Roland Hazard, the guy. So, but in 1923, 16 years before the big book was published, he comes up in one of the stories in the book, the four blocks
to God, the obstacles. If you read the big book, it's talked about, we're about to remove the obstacles that block us from God. The book uses the term obstacles. There was a person who had wronged me and I could not forgive. There was a restitution I would not make. There was a dubious pleasure, a doubtful pleasure, which I would not give up. There was a sin in the long past which I could not confess. Sound familiar? Person I had wronged me, resentments, the number one offender, destroys more alcoholics, more compulsive overeaters than anyone else. Someone I won't forget, because he did something worse to me than I did to him, right? Restitution I would not make. Did you ever read the big book? It says we may have to face jail, regardless of personal consequences. It says, I have to make these restitutions. Dubious pleasure, which I would not give up. The book says, if my sexual behavior continues to harm others, I'm sure to compulsively overeat over this. It says, this is our experience. This is not some theory. Okay? I'm quoting from the big book, as adapted for an OA program. Maybe you're not a sex fiend. Maybe you're a tough guy. You like pulling guys out of the traffic and popping them. Maybe you like gambling. Maybe you're married and you like cruising for mokers. Maybe you like, I don't know, you name me a dubious pleasure. The track, you're a gambler. There was a sin in the long past which I would not confess. The book says I will not find enough humility and fearlessness until I've told someone else all my life story, all being italicized. Whenever anything's italicized in the big book, it's for emphasis. Withholding nothing, says Bill. Okay? So we launch on a course of action immediately. We know what we're heading for here. We're going to get rid of the resentments and the secrets. What are chapter 4 and 5 about, or 5 and 6, excuse me? We're going to get rid of resentments, secrets, fears, guilt, financial wreckage, and sexual wreckage. Dubious behavior which harms others. That's what it's about. And any other behavior where we harm others. Okay, that's what those chapters are about. These are obstacles which block me from higher power. A little bit on logistics, and I make a point of this. Scott Lee is one of the, it was a good book workshop guy. If you email me, I'll give you a list of the best speakers in all programs. He says, there's a difference between clerk work and the CEO. When a company takes inventory, they send out the little workers and the junior execs and the assistant, second assistant bookkeeper, or the new intern. They have to count the widgets on the shelf and put it down in the ledger. Is that the real inventory of the company? That's the clerk work, just writing the columns and listing the stuff. I don't care what you use. I'm going through the steps again, by the way. 32 years into this thing. I got a book bumper fanatic sponsor, but he's a good guy. I don't think he's compulsive overeater. He's an alcoholic, but he's not compulsive overeater. When I did the sex inventory, he made me staple legal sheets together so I have enough room for 9 columns. I said, why don't I just buy a bigger thing? No, I want it this way, you know. I don't give a shit about the nickel dime stuff. That's the clerk work. The important stuff is what you're going to do with it. Use legal pad. Sponsees have bought this big drawing pad. I think I got one from... This is what I wanted you to get. From Walgreens or Walmart, it's like $5. It's got, look how much room it's got. You can get a zillion columns in there. I don't care what you're using. Use what you want. This is clerk work. The real deal is what you're going to do with the information. We looked at this list carefully because it held the key to the future. Okay? So considerations for the fourth step. Do you realize that self-centeredness is the root of your troubles? Are you ready to face and get rid of the things in yourself which have been blocking you from a higher power? These are the obstacles. Okay, Shoemaker was talking about 1923, but they're in our book. Are you ready to get down to causes and conditions, of which obesity is only a symbol? In the book it says alcohol is but a symbol of our disease. We have to get down to causes and conditions. The fact that you're 100 pounds overweight is, what do they say in OA? It's a great slogan. It's a slogan. It's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. Okay? It's a symbol of your spiritual malady. Of course, we always start with physical abstinence. The same way in alky, I'm not working steps with a guy with booze on his breath. You know, first you detox him and then you get into it. So we have to get on a food plan, we have to get abstinent. But we have to get down to causes and conditions. Some more considerations. Are you ready to discover the truth about yourself?
might not be pleasant, especially when I'm going to ask you to make amends. Am I ready to search out the flaws in your makeup which caused your failure, your compulsive overeating, your bedevilment? Are you convinced that the bondage of self manifested in various ways was what had defeated you? Do you know what the most common manifestations of self are? Do you? What does that mean? What, if you read the big book, and I'm going to read to you now, you know, because obviously you need it. I mean, I don't like to lecture or read, but apparently it's Jessica, right?
Yeah.
When Jessica says, what does he mean by that? Page 64 of the big book. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Are you ready to search for the flaws in your makeup which caused your failure? With food. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways and would have defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. So we're now about to consider the common manifestations of self. What are the common manifestations of self? I just told you. Resentments, secrets, fears, guilts, financial wreckage, sexual wreckage. These are the common manifestations of self-will running riot. That's the way most of us will screw up our lives. Okay, there's women I may have to make amends to. I'm going to discuss again. Yeah. Say it again?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to consider the common manifestations of self. What are the manifestations of self? Resentments, the number one offender. That'll kill you more than anything. That'll get you out into the food quicker than anything. Also, secrets. Something you haven't, you left off your inventory. Restitutions you won't make. That term paper. So we're talking about resentments, secrets, guilts, fears. We do a fear inventory. Financial wreckage. You know what the book says? If I can't face my creditors, I will eat. And dubious behaviors. It says if my sexual behavior continues to harm others, I'm sure to eat over it. Okay? So those are the manifestations of self. And that's exactly what we're going to, look at in our inventory process. All right? Do I realize these resentments? We'll start with the resentments. That's usually the first inventory in the book. Do I realize they can destroy you? That's a consideration. Do I realize it can take you back to the food? Okay? Do you realize these resentments must be mastered? You think you can wish them away? A lot of people go to the story, Freedom from Bondage, in the back of the book. It's not the first 164. I want to point this out to you. They said, well, you pray for somebody for 2 weeks. The AA History website, we're still trying to figure out. We think it's Norman Vincent Peale is the clergyman. That this woman is, I think it's Wing L is her name. If you go to the back of the book, she says, I read an article about a prominent clergyman. He says, the way to get rid of resentment is you pray for the person for 2 weeks. You wish them everything you want for you and all this good stuff. Mazel tov. If you can get rid of a resentment by praying for it for 2 weeks, go for it. That is by far the easier, softer way. I had resentments. I put stuff on the wailing wall for these assholes, and they wouldn't go away. And literally, when I was in Israel. I mean, the book is pretty specific on how to get rid of a resentment. You start by doing an inventory, looking for your part in the situation. Okay, I'm going to get into all this. If you can get rid of a resentment by praying for them for 2 weeks, go for it. If it doesn't work for you, you better talk to a guy like me. Okay? We're going to work with the way to do it in the book. That's in the back of the book. It's a great story, and if it works for you, knock yourself out. It's not that first 164. Don't confuse people's personal stories and their personal opinions with what the book says. Okay, I don't work Winnell's program, Freedom from Bondage. I work the Big Book program. Softer, easy way. I realize the book has to be prayed when it's let go of the character defect and make the amends. What you're really praying for is the willingness to let go of the character defect to put this person on my resentment list. So you start writing your columns. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because the book's actually... You write your column. What people are you angry at? I knew who I was angry at 7 years into this thing. I was dying. One of them was my first sponsor. Write column two. Don't go over 25 words as a rule. Keep it short. I don't think there's anything over 19 words in the big book. I give him 25. Scott Lee says he does that. Scott Lee's a fanatic. The book said something like that. We put it down in black and white. He won't let them use a yellow legal pad. He makes them go find a black and white legal pad. I'm not that bad. But I'm not saying it's bad. I shouldn't call him a guy a fanatic. He's a great A. Scott Lee, I hope you're not listening to OA tapes. He's a great guy. He leads workshops. He's a book guy. Sober about 25 years. We got to edit this shit out. I just broke your guy's anonymity. So, well, I have to talk to him. What's his face? Scott L. Forget your third name. Column one, who are you angry with? Column two, what did he do to you? What did she do to you? What did the IRS do to you? What did LA Unified do to me? what did it affect in you? And the seven areas of self, This is why a step guide like Herb Kay's or Dan S.'s is good, because he's got it all laid out there. You know, columns one, two, and three, there's your seven areas of self, you know. Pride and this and that, and your vision. It's all in the book. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to show you that what's more important to know what to do with the information and what this is all about, what we're up to here. Here's some considerations, though. Do I realize that running a self-will and self-reliance in order to satisfy these instincts is what put you in collision with these people in the first place? Do you realize that self-reliance failed you? Okay? So it's affecting yourself, but your problem is you're trying to satisfy your instincts for sex, prestige, acclaim, financial security, whatever. You're running on self-will, you're trying to satisfy your instincts, you're colliding with other people. They retaliate against you, and guess what shows up? A resentment. See, it's all about me running on self-will will put me in collision with other people. I'm not relying on a higher power, I'm relying on Roy's going to fix. Roy will think his way out of this one. Okay? Then we do a resentment inventory. Column three, the fear is a goal. In the book, you'll see this fear is Bill gets into his gardening metaphor, the underlying root of whatever the hell it is. I ask actually 9 questions. The book only asks, I think, 7 maybe, or 6. These are all from the book, though, in the 7 areas of self. Where would I have been selfish? What did I want from the situation? Where had I been dishonest? Did I lie? Did I not admit something to myself or another? Did I not say something when I should have? Like, hey, that really bothers me. Just, you know, self-assertion. And I wind up with a resentment because I didn't know how to take care of myself. Self-seeking and frightened. There's no comma here. This is, some people say this is one clause. You can do this separately. Where was I self-seeking? What role did I want to play in it? I wanted to be the tough guy. I wanted to be the lover. I wanted to be the boss. I wanted to run the show. I'm like the actor who's trying to be the director, you know? What I really want to do is direct. This is L.A. I mean, everybody should understand this part of the inventory. Frightened. Was I scared? Was I fearing? Was too timid to say something? Was it the truth? Did I set the ball of fear rolling with something I did? Did I mention Scott L., but I said his anonymity in here. Did I make a decision based on self which put me in a position to be hurt? Where was I to blame? What should I have done instead? Which I borrowed from the sex inventory. The book says you can treat sex like any other problem, like a resentment. Ergo, I can treat a resentment like sex. I use these questions in the fourth column. Okay? This is my part of it. My side of the street. Why is this idiot's name on my resentment list? Okay? And Joe Charlie made this observation, which is very profound. Do I realize most of the time I've done something to someone else to make them do something to me? Did I step on the toes of myself to make them retaliate? Okay, most of them. Jill says, or maybe it was Charlie, and she says, almost always I did something to them first to make them do something back to me. And that's what I got to make amends for, my part of it. Ignoring what they did to me, even though they're a bigger asshole than I am, which happens occasionally. We turn back to the list for the key in the future. One of the great lines in the big book. Because this is the whole key to what you're doing to manufacture your own misery. You know, if I was an angry, cowardly bully, guess who showed up on my resentment list? Cowardly bullies. You know, I was attracting them. I was getting better. You get two guys in a bar looking for a fight, they will find each other. They look at that locking of the eyes. They both want to get into something, get into trouble. They'll find each other. The law of attraction. So if I'm manifesting things over and over again, of course I'm always looking for patterns, repetitive incidents, and I got a lot of them with women. I'm doing some bad, most of my current inventory is about women, because I got some repetitive patterns. I'm always manifesting the same damn situation. Okay. Do I not like their symptoms in the ways of disturbing? Do I realize they, like myself, were sick too? I got to get rid of these resentments. Now, how can I get rid of them? Well, maybe you can pray them away for 2 weeks. Go for it. That's what I suggest. But the book says, do I realize that the people wronged me were perhaps spiritually sick? Do I realize it was my character defect which put this guy in my life? That's a very profound question. Something I'm doing that continues to create this kind of situation. Do I understand it's for me to binge against to die, so I gotta master this, isn't it? So, how do I get it? I have to ask for help. God, please help me show these people the same tolerance, pity, and patience I cheerfully grant a sick friend. God, save me from anger, retaliation, and argument. Do I realize I must avoid retaliation and argument? Okay? I can't get even, the book says. It's not going to work. I'm just going to be caught in this endless cycle of hatred. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger, etc., etc. You realize that the grouch and the brainstorm is a dubious luxury of normal men. You'll eat over it. Normal guy can go let off steam, maybe, you know, eat a pillow or go have it. The normal guy can go eat a pint of ice cream and maybe run a little more this week to work it off because he's upset over something the boss did. If you're a compulsive overeater and you get into a pint of ice cream, you might not stop till 100 pounds later and you drag your ass back here. Okay? It says, it's, you know, for the compulsive overeater, alcoholic, this is fatal, this resentment business. I'll die if I start eating at you. I might never make it back to OA. Probably I wouldn't, my type of guy. Considerations. Did fear touch every aspect of your life? Once again, all we're doing is turning the statements into questions. Sex inventory. Now about sex. Here's the question. Do I need an overhauling here? Yeah. I'm not thrilled about it, but I do. My current inventory is mostly about this. Okay? But yeah, that's for you to answer. Maybe you have a very happy... romantic life. Do I have sex problems? Yeah. Am I willing to review my conduct over the years? Yeah. You make a list. Oh, by the way, logistics. Once again, when you're doing lists, always do go vertically, never horizontally. First column, you write your names down, people you hate. Then, what did they do to you? Just do the second column. Go vertically, never horizontally. Okay? Then, how did it affect you? Go vertically down. Then you go to the fourth column questions. Did I start the ball field rolling? You know, always go vertically down. Okay? Sex realizations. Do I realize I must earnestly pray for the right idea for guidance in each question? I didn't even realize all these years that, you know, the problem with you boys, you never asked your higher power to help you form the same sex ideal. Okay? I need help. Most of us need help in these touchy areas, finance, romance, relationships. These are touchy areas of life. Do I realize that if I'm not sorry, if my conduct hurts women, my conduct continues to harm others, I'm quite sure you're overeating it. When I was new, I used to hit on all the newcomers. I used to hit on the women. I hit on my sponsor, Tamara S. She very deftly brushed me aside and kept sponsoring. She was one of the coolest chicks I ever met in my life. She just got me to do stuff I couldn't do. I mean, she got me a brown bag. And she's just cool. We became the best of friends. But I mean, I hit on her. She knew how to handle me for some reason. I don't know. Maybe she's good. Maybe she's like a dog whisperer or something. I don't know. But, she was a Roy whisperer. She was a great lady. I had to make an amends for the newcomer and phoned in her food at me and I hit on her. You know, to kind of shook her up a little bit, you know. But that got me to stop hitting on the newcomer. See, making amends helps you give up the defect. Mm. The guy says, well, I don't want to lose my temper and get these fights anymore. Well, go apologize to that guy. Well, he had me arrested. Well, yeah, but you did assault him. Well, I'm liable to do 30 days in county over this. You start a fight with a guy. I don't give a shit whether you like it. Go make the amends. You know, if you're not willing to make the amends, you probably really don't want to give up the defect. It's that simple. Okay? I didn't like having to make amends to that gal. But I did. She took it pretty well. We were friendly after that. She's beautiful. I had to hit her. I had to do it. She's really beautiful. Movie star look. But she didn't want me for that. She wanted to learn her food. You know, I'm doing the wrong thing. So I don't hit on her. And you kids been around for a while. That's a different story. I'm going to do my columns and ask God to help me write a section. All right, so these are all considerations. You know, financial wreckage inventory. You know you owe money to. Is there anybody who, you know, if he's on that side of the street, you cross the other side of the street, you know you owe money to. You know what you're guilty about. You know if you've been padding an expense account. That stopped me from stealing, making amends over this. It took me 13 years in the program to stop. I'm a petty thief tonight. It's not even like I steal good stuff. It's nickel dime bullshit. My sponsor was the same way. He used to say, I couldn't get it go out of it like a Rite Aid without grabbing like a package of gum or razor blades and sticking them in my pocket. It took me years to quit doing that. Well, you have to make amends. Do you realize you have to lose your fear of creditors no matter how far you have to go? For you're liable to overeat if you're afraid to face it. Do you realize that? You're liable to overeat over money issues and sex issues. You realize that, right? Why do you think they're on this inventory? You think we're messing around here? You're going to eat over this shit if you don't deal with it. Because sex is very troublesome, but I realize I must struggle with some argument. Yeah, I did. Last time I was obsessing over a woman, I just picked up a few sponsees and made their life painful for a while. These are the questions to ask. Have you been thorough about your personal inventory? Have you written down a lot? Oh, thanks. Are you convinced that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you from Him? Your self-will is what's putting these names on your list. Your defects, your sponsor, if he knows what he's doing, he's going to point them out to you. Boy, you can't hit on newcomer women anymore. Okay. You got to make amends there. Okay. Do I believe that having already made a decision in terms of gross or handicaps, I made a good beginning? These are questions from the book, turning the statements in the book into questions. Then we'll go on to step 5. Okay? Now, this is a scary step for a lot of people. Remember, I had him initial the ABCs. Remember, I had him read the book. He knows what he's getting into. I had him initial it. And now he's going to have to come to me and read me some pretty gnarly stuff. Okay? And here's some considerations. Is your work solid so far? Meaning, have you been a real honest third and fourth step? Do you really want this thing? Are you desperate? Are you hopeless? Have you left off anything off your inventory? Have you omitted anything? Big book, page 75. Are you ready to write down your deepest, darkest secrets? 12 and 12, page 59. Only by discussing ourselves, holding back nothing, only by being willing to take advice and accept direction, we set foot, etc., etc. And page 72 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, adapted for the program of Over Here Anonymous, do you realize that if you skip this vital step, you may not overcome compulsive overeating? That's a rather serious consideration for you to consider, don't you think? Are you prepared for a long talk? Are you much like the actor presenting to you, this is about secrets, are you much like the actor presenting to the outer world your stage character? Do you want to enjoy a certain reputation knowing in your heart that you don't deserve it? Okay? Now, I used to have a friend in AA, Rocky S., who was a real tough guy, was a bouncer up in the barns. So he told me, he challenged the Hells Angels, this guy was crazy. But he used to say, you know, we all hate ourselves, but we all got something we could do better than anybody else. Me, I could kick ass, you know. We got low self-esteem, so we're going to compensate by puffing ourselves up and presenting this world, this vision to the world, that I got my shit together. Bill Wilson was the first, I think, to use the famous word egomaniac with an inferiority phrase. And that sums it up. Am I like, you know, I have this double life that I'm trying to conceal from the world, see? And I'm, you know, hey, I'm in graduate school. Meanwhile, you know, I'm stuffing chips at night alone with the TV. I'm stuffing chips, you know. I pass the bar, you know. So these are the step 5 considerations. Have you thought well before you choose the person with whom you take this step? Ask your higher power for guidance. That's what I suggest. My first sponsor was a nightmare. It was a train wreck. Did I search for a close mouth, understanding friend? Guys should be able to keep his mouth shut. You know, we got plenty of good people around the program. Do I realize that it's important to be able to keep confidence, to be fully understand and approve? This is a little throwaway line. That he fully understand and approve what we're driving at. I'm going to bold that and put that bigger. Because I'll tell you why. Because my first sponsor didn't. Not only couldn't he keep a confidence, the asshole, but he wasn't a book guy. He didn't understand what we're driving at here. I don't know what your sponsor's telling you when he's taking you through the steps, but I'm real clear with my sponsees. This process, based on this book, is about removing the obstacles which block you from God. This is a spiritual process. That's what we're driving at. And your secrets will block you. Your resentments will block you. Financial creditors you can't face. Women you're not your mystery. That will block you from the higher power. You will eat again over this. My sponsor wasn't stressing the spiritual angle. He put the book down. You go to meetings, you know, we help each other. That churchy kind of God, you know. I know more than Bill. I'm sober 17 years. Bill's only 4.5 years sober when he wrote. Well, I'll tell you, I'm sober 32 years, which is twice as long as that clown was now. And the book's been around 71 years. So if you're going to get impressed by the years, get impressed by the years the book's been on the program, then they won't change a word of it. Okay? There's strong sentiment, it says now, in the fourth edition. It used to be in the third edition. There's sentiment against changing it. For some reason, in the fourth edition, there is strong sentiment against changing it. Okay, so if you're impressed by years, get impressed by that. I'm not impressed by years. But in my 32 years of experience, for what it's worth, it's all in there. It's all in there. Okay? I told this one gal down in the AA in Miami, I said, Suzanne, you put the program first and everything's going to be okay. Put your program first. Head of your job, head of your relationship. She's 30 years sober now. She always calls me up on my A birthday or whatever, or my natal birthday. I forget. Roy, you gave me such great advice. You were so instrumental in my sobriety, Roy. How about you? You're so, you know, and I'm puffing myself up, man. You know, I am the shit. I am a spiritual guru, right? Man, I am so deep. About 3 years ago, page 143. How many people you know get emotional over a book? That's what blows me away about the big book. You know, I thought I was a guru. Here it is, 143, first paragraph down, under the top. To get over drinking will require transformation of thought and attitude. We all had to place recovery above everything, for without recovery we would have lost both home and business. It's in there all along. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional about the book. Let me recover my composure. What I'm getting at is this. In my experience, it's all in there. It's all in there. You can't go wrong. The book has never let me down. People have always let me down. I've let me down. I'm the human power. I fired sponsors. I've had about 5 or 6 sponsors fire me. I'm no saint. I used to argue politics with my sponsors. I mean, that was part of my last inventory. I was arguing politics. What are we driving at? It's really important. I just bolded this because my first sponsor didn't get what we were driving at. That your sponsor fully understand the proof of what we're driving at. What are we driving at? We're driving at a purification ritual. This is about purification. It's about clearing channels. Why are we doing this? Well, page 72, we're trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. This is a spiritual program, and discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. Cast out. Not working on your defects, not fixing yourself. You know, you can't fix yourself with yourself. What you're looking for, you're looking with. Chuck Chamberlain used to say, what the hell is he talking about? I finally had to retranslate it. The mind that you came in here with, okay, the mind that said a gallon of ice cream will fix your financial problem, or the gallon of ice cream will fix the girl that won't go out with you, or the gallon of ice cream will fix the boss that passed over your job. That's the mind you brought into this program. Are you going to fix yourself with that mind? Because when you're looking for something, you're looking with something. The same mind you're looking with is the mind that you're going to fix yourself with? No way. These are about to be cast out. This is not a self-help program. This is a God-help program. We're removing the obstacles that's blocked me from the power. Okay, and the fifth step is the beginning of casting out this crap, because you're going to let somebody else into your life. Am I supposed to stop here now or something? I don't know what the hell is going on. So I just tell, pardon me, a break. All right, I'll finish with the fifth step. So if the guy's ready, understands what's going on here, you're going to cast out these obstacles. I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. Why? Yes, says the book, because we want to put our life in order. But more important, fit ourselves to be of maximum service to others. In other words, like Frank Buchman, he couldn't make any converts when he was burning up with resentment. You can't have a spiritual leader who's hating the world. Nobody's attracted by that. The real, what we're driving at here, this is a purification ritual. This whole thing with the inventory, looking at the defects, making amends for the resentment, you're clearing channels so that you can be, he's my director, I'm his agent. He's my employer, I'm his worker. You know, he's my father, I'm his son, etc. You know, I'm working for the higher power now to help people. That's my primary purpose, to stay abstinent and help others to maintain their abstinence. That's my primary purpose. And when I have them sign the initial, the ABCs, and then do the third step prayer, I remind them that this is a contract. You say you're going to go through with this thing, and does God, you know, in contract, I don't know if Don's aware, if anybody else is aware, but you have consideration contract. Both sides, if you made a contract, you agree to do this, they agree to pay you that. You need consideration. Does the higher power have consideration when you make this contract? Page 63, some of the third step promises. We had a new employer being all-powerful. He provided what we needed. How'd you like that? The most all-powerful boss on the planet. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs, more and more interested in seeing what we can contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, we enjoyed peace of mind. As we discovered we could face successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. These are pretty powerful promises. They're actually, it's a big debate as to whether they're really third step promises, because the third step prayer doesn't end with an amen. A lot of the book thumpers feel you're entering this process here. The third step prayer is a decision that I'm willing to go through 4 through 9. So a lot of people say, well, you're not going to feel this when you just do the prayer, the third step. You're going to, once you get through the whole thing, do all the inventories, make the amends, get healed, give up the defects, that's when this happens. So it's an interesting little point. You guys, don't let anybody else read your big book for you. You read it on your own. I'll point out something. You go home and read it yourself, and you decide. But that's the higher power's part of the contract. He's going to do that for you. How'd you like to have a boss that's all-powerful? That's better than Spielberg. You know? You're going to find new power. You're going to find peace of mind. You're going to be able to face life successfully. You're going to become conscious of his presence and lose fear of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. Powerful, powerful concept. All right, well, I guess we're going to take a break, and we're basically through the fifth step. And when I come back, we'll do, I guess, I don't know, we'll get through as many as we can, and tomorrow I hope to finish up with whatever we didn't finish. But I'm doing out a pretty good clip. The key here is, this method's all about sitting with a guy right in front of you, turning the statements into questions, going through the book line by line. Okay? Thank you.